We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM and the Refresh Radio broadcast today. I pray that you are having an awesome day. We do want to recommend to you that if you need AC work done, that if you're here in the central part of the county, one of our sponsors, they go all throughout the county. Another one is pretty much here central part of the county. This one is Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. If you are looking to put in one of these new micro split systems or mini split systems, or they're called something like that, or if you're looking to upgrade your old equipment into new equipment, if you are looking to move away from the older style of Freon to the new style of Freon, whatever you might need, write this number down. One day your air conditioner is going to scream at you and it's going to say, "Hey, I need some help." And the number to call when that cry comes is 321-759-3284. 321-759-3284. Now, I don't know about you, but I like having friends. I am so thankful for the body of Christ. This, hold on to the Refresh Radio program. I'm just gonna talk to you for just a minute. And that is, I am so thankful for the body of Christ. I know that there are some people that like to go to churches, and they like to go in and come out, and they don't really get to be too vulnerable. Nobody knows if they're there or if they're not there. But I tell you, I am so thankful for the body of Christ that I have friends. I have people that I have relationship with, and that I can be a blessing to them. They can be a blessing to me. And we are there for one another. I truly am. I do not understand, nor do I want to understand, how people manage to do life without the body of Christ. I will tell you this. I believe that the world is going to be a drastically different place whenever Christ returns and takes his church out of this world. I believe it is going to be so markedly different that there is going to be, I know that that Christians will get blamed for a lot of stuff, even though we're not there, but it is going to be so distinctly different that people are just going to be miserable. So I'm thankful for Bill Andreich at Creative AC Solutions. If he can be a blessing to you, give him a call, 321-759-3284. So today we are going to go back to Isaiah. We are studying the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace. We're talking about peace. And so the Spirit of God is what brings all of this into our life. It should be something that is supernaturally natural about our life. Verse number 12 of Isaiah 66. "For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then you shall feed on her sides, or then you shall feed on her sides, shall you be carried and be dandled on her knees as one whom his mother comforts. So I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. When you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like grass. The hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants, and his indignation to his enemies. For behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword the Lord will judge all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many." So I'm only going to touch on that part of Isaiah chapter 66. But what if I told you that you are not called to just the mercy drops of peace? You know, I don't know about you, but when I'm driving down the road, I don't mind if it rains, and I like it when it's sunny, but that atmosphere where you're driving and it's just sprinkling enough to where your windshield wipers need to be on, but it's not wet enough for your windshield wipers. And so you're having to kind of adjust the timer to see if it's just right, or whether you've just got to turn the windshield wipers on and off. That's not satisfying to me at all. There's nothing pleasant about that. There's a old hymn, "There Shall Be Showers of Blessing." And it talks about mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. I want you to see today that God's perfect provision for you and I, for you and me, is not mercy drops that are intermittent and sporadic and unpredictable, but he wants to extend peace into your life and to my life that is as abundant as a river. Hurricane Harvey, they project that one storm endowed Southeast Texas, I believe the figure was 11 trillion gallons of water. 11 trillion gallons. That's a lot of water. And I don't know how that compares to, some of the rivers, the Mississippi River that runs so long. I don't know how many drops or how many gallons, but I do know this, that when God says that he's got peace that you can't measure with an 8-ounce glass, when he wants to extend peace to you in such a magnitude that you couldn't contain it if you opened your mouth and let it fill you up all the way to your toes. The peace that God wants to provide for you and I is abundant. It is abundant peace. There was one of the texts that I researched, and it said that the peace that God would provide would be just that. It would be abundant. God, in fact, it says, "I will extend peace to her like a river." I pray that you are not going through a drought of peace. I find it amazing that, there can be places on this planet where people live without water to such an extent that it's a drought, and yet the planet is something like 2/3 to 3/4 water. How do I want to say this, being on the Space Coast? It seems to me like it would be of great benefit to humanity if somebody was, instead of looking for one molecule of water or one little drop of water out in space someplace that might cause people to jump up and down and say, "See, we found evidence of life," that it might be of great benefit if somebody was taking that same amount of ingenuity and creative thinking and God-given wisdom to look for ways that we could transform places that are experiencing drought and cause them to experience an environmental transformation that would bless people. It's just a thought. With that same thought in mind, what would it look like if all of a sudden we were looking for ways to take this abundant provision of peace that God has provided for us and say, I wonder if my neighbor could use peace like this. I wonder if my coworker could use a little bit of peace. God says, I'm extending that peace with an inexhaustible, that when I think of river, I'm not thinking of just a gently flowing. I'm thinking powerful white caps. I'm thinking peace that is in a hurry to get someplace. I mean, how long do you endure a problem before you say, you know what, I think I've had enough of this, and I don't know about you, but I don't want to be sick for a day. I don't want to be sick for a week, and then before I realize, hey, you know what, I need well. I was reading a little newsletter the other day, and come to find out, I knew the author. And I just saw him out in California, and it had a similar thought to it. You know, God has given us peace. We ought to be looking for ways for that to reach other people. Verse number 14 describes some other benefits. Remember, the peace of God that we are talking about is talking about fullness, completeness, integrity in body, soul, mind, relationships, finances, being whole in every area of our life. It says, when you see this, your heart shall rejoice and your bones shall flourish like grass. And I pray that the peace of God will result in great manifestation, not just in our spirit, but in our personality, in our the way that we think, in our finances, in our relationships. You know, I like it when people make intentional choices not to allow the devil to ruin their day. I remember a story that's far as I know, that's all it was. And a lady came up and apologized to another lady. And the lady said, I'm sorry, I don't remember what you're talking about at all. And she said, oh, well, it was such and such a time, and this is what I did, and I was absolutely horribly wrong. And finally the lady said, oh, I distinctly remember forgetting that. And she was like, I've moved on from there. Someone asked me the other, you know, not too long ago, it wasn't the other day, it was not too long ago, and they said, I was just wondering if you were mad at me. And my response to him was quite simply this. I don't have the capacity to carry around meaningless grudges with people. I just don't. I don't have the time. I don't want it to distract me from my mission. If I was constantly feeding on disappointments from people, I certainly wouldn't be hosting the Refresh radio program. I might be hosting the Depress radio program, but I'm not talking. People don't need more depressed people in their life. They need people who are refreshed. And so I pray that the peace that God extends to you like a river, that it will manifest in your heart and that it will manifest in your bones, that you will be healthy completely and totally all the way through and through. We're going to go over to Jeremiah chapter 29 for the latter part of this broadcast today. I referenced this earlier in our study when we were discussing pray for the peace of Jerusalem, but just so that you'll know that I'm not making this up, this is Jeremiah chapter 29. Thus says the verse number 4, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. You have to understand that they had received some spiritual, quote-unquote, counsel in Babylon to just hold the fort. Don't get too attached to this place. We're going to be coming out of this place before long. Don't put forth any effort to it. And if that was the case, Mordecai would not have been in a position for Esther to have later become queen. If that were the case, Daniel would not have really been in the position to say, you know what, I could offer you some wisdom, king, but I think I'm just going to hold out and wait until I go back to Jerusalem. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not have been. And these people rose to prominence in the palace. And so I want to tell you, don't get stuck in a holding pattern. I was there once. I literally was there for 2 years. I knew I was called to ministry before I was 9 years old. That's about the time I was baptized, 9 or 10 years old. But I knew that I was called to be in the ministry. And I was in a holding pattern while I was in high school, and a person that was interviewing for a college scholarship said, well, what are you doing about pursuing that ministry now? And that got me off of high center, and it got me launched in. And so I didn't get the scholarship. I got something better. I got motivation. And then my wife and I got married. My first position of ministry did not end in a glorious manner. And so it was about 2.5 years for me before I had another position, and it was only a part-time position, but it was a position. It was in a different state and all of that. But up until that time, my wife and I, the first 2 years that we were married, we were in a holding pattern. What do I mean by that? I mean the wedding gifts that we had received were still in the boxes. We didn't unpack everything that we had. We were living a minimalistic lifestyle, if you will, because we were ready to go and answer the call of ministry at the drop of a hat. And for the life of me, I will not ever be able to explain this, but there was a time when I said, this is not what God has called us to do. God has not called us to live like we are living. And so my wife and I, we went and we unpacked everything that we had. We found a spot for everything. We had an apartment. It wasn't anything fancy. I'm not even sure it's still there anymore, but we unpacked everything. And the next day we got a phone call inviting us to go to Texas. And you might think that I look at that and say, you know, what a waste of effort, because everything I just unpacked, I've got to turn right around and pack. But I really don't look at it that way at all. You see, I believe that what God is looking for is he's looking for people who are wholly committed to being light for him and salt for him in the community that he has placed them in. And so where these Jewish captives were being told, just hold on, just be a little bit patient, don't get too wrapped up in this society before we get carried off back to Jerusalem, Jeremiah comes and says it's going to be 70 years. Guess how long it was? 70 years. And he says, I want you to build houses. I want you to build families. I want you to be productive in this society. I don't want you to just hang out here like you're at a resort. I want you to be fully committed. One of the lessons I have had to learn as a pastor is this, that I'm looking for people who will, you know, who work for me, you know, the staff that I have, or people in the church. I'm looking for people who are called to Merit Assembly of God, and I'm looking for people who are all in, who are saying, you know what, we're going to do everything that we can do. We're not divided loyalties. We're not serving two masters. We're not going to be sidetracked with, we're not going to serve God and money. We're going to serve God. We are going to build the kingdom of God here. You see, I talked in earlier programs about allowing God to change the way that we think to the way that he thinks. My thinking has changed since I first became pastor at Merit Assembly of God. I'm looking for people with undivided hearts and undivided loyalties. And so Jeremiah 29:7 says this, and seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it. For in its peace, you will have peace. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them. So he says in verse number 7, you've got to pray for the city that you're in. Part of your prayer list should be the company that you work for. Part of the group that you are praying for should be your family. Part of the group that you pray for should be your church. It should be your neighbors. Pray for their peace. Pray for their peace. Seek it. Look for it. Don't just pray and hope that it happens, but look for ways to make that happen. And so it goes on and it says, for in its peace, you will have peace. I wonder what America would look like if instead of praying for the president of one political party when they're in office and it happens to be our president, and then praying against the president when the other party's person is in office. I wonder what it would look like if we prayed for our president, period. If we prayed for America and if we looked for ways for the peace of God to manifest in our communities, I wonder what it would look like. It would probably look a lot like Jeremiah 29:7 becoming reality, where when our community is at peace, we get to have peace. I will give you this bit of wisdom, and that is this. You do not want to be associating with people who are just troublemakers and looking for ways to sow strife and discord. The Bible strongly cautions against that. So because the Bible does that, I'm cautioning you, don't do that. I will tell you this, I don't put my trust in politicians to bring about solutions that only God can bring. I look to God for that. But one of the things that God intends for us to do is being instrumental as the members of the body of Christ in bringing peace to the community in which we exist. Okay? We should be part of the solution, not part of the problem. So I have this mindset now. If you want to talk about the goodness of God, I want to talk, but if you're looking for a problem, then I'm not here. I'm not here to talk about problems. I don't want to go out in the community and sow seeds of strife and discord, because you know what? I will tell you this. I was in a restaurant one time, and there were some people right. They were in the booth right behind me, and they spent the entire time talking negatively about the staff at their church. And I know which church they were from, and I'm not talking about it. But they were spent the whole time, and you know what? Not one time did they ever give any consideration. You know, maybe we shouldn't be talking about this here, because there might be somebody who's hurting and wounded and bleeding, and they need a relationship with God. And the last thing they need to hear is disunity in the body of Christ. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. So don't do the devil's job for him. There's enough accuser of the brethren already. So drop down to verse number 10. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to that place, to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found. Let's see. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. It goes on to say, God is thinking of you in ways of peace. Isn't that exactly opposite of what the world will try and get you to believe? The world tries to get you to believe that God is up in heaven, and he's got this great big baseball bat, and he's just waiting for you to step out of line so that he is justified into knocking you into an eternity apart from God. Nothing could be further from the truth. God is looking for everyone to come to repentance, for everyone to put their faith in Jesus Christ. And he's looking, he is thinking about the peace that he has provided, that he wants to extend that peace like a river. That's what I want. That's what I want in my life. But too many people have this conception about God that they're the born loser. I don't know if you remember that old cartoon, the born loser. He was going around and nothing that he could do was right, and it could be a sunshiny day except for right over his head there was a rain cloud that was just pouring down. It was just, you know, he was a born loser. I want you to know, you were created by God with this thought in mind. I can't wait to bring peace into that person's life. If they will seek me, they will find me. And when they find me, I'm going to extend peace to them like a river, and they are going to have a better life than they ever dreamed possible. Have a great day. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh Radio Broadcast.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.